Well, today being the first Sunday of the year, we're going to finish the service with Holy Communion at the end of the service, which is a good thing to do. We did it last week at the conclusion of the year. We're also going to start the year by finishing with Holy Communion. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words up on the big screen behind me so you can read along, but I encourage you to bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to church and open the book and read the book for yourself, and that's a good practice for us personally to do. I want to launch this year with a series called I Have Decided. I Have Decided. It's going to be a precursor to the series that we're going to do next in February, which will be for our Vision Month. Vision Month, we're going to talk about All In. This month, we're going to talk about the fact that I have decided, and the title comes from a theme song that we used to sing many years ago in church called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Anyone remember that song? What a great song. I have decided to follow Jesus. And you know, making that decision to follow Jesus and receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior is the very best number one decision that you can make in your entire life. Philippians chapter 3, 13 to 14, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Everyone say one thing. One thing. One thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you've been a believer and a follower of Jesus for any length of time, this verse and this passage is no surprise to you. You're very familiar with this reading that has a powerful truth for us today as we launch this series called I Have Decided. It's written by the Apostle Paul as he was in prison awaiting possible execution. Awaiting possible execution. What amazes me is while he's awaiting possible execution, he's planning and preparing for the future and writing of his future plans. You know, when you're awaiting execution, that's not the normal thing you'd be doing. But the Apostle Paul was not normal. Not normal. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, full of faith and vision, and he wasn't about to allow this very challenging circumstance to define who he was, how he saw life, and what he did. And so he said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. He narrows down his future plan to really one thing. And that one thing for Paul, we're going to talk about a little bit later. He wanted to live a really focused life is what he wanted to do. I think there's great power in focus. I think there's great power in doing one thing and doing it really, really well as opposed to trying to do everything. And a lot of us have way too much in our future plan and we really should narrow it down a little bit and be more intentional in the way that we live. Paul says, forgetting the past. Well, that's a good deal. Looking forward to what lies ahead. Are you looking forward to this year? Are you looking forward to this year? Anyone else besides those two in the room? Looking forward to this year and everything that it may hold. You know, when Paul says forgetting the past, well, that was a big issue for him. It's not just words. It was a big issue. Before he was a leader in the church and a follower of Jesus Christ, he was a Pharisee. And he actually opposed the Christian church that was developing at that time. He had Christians dragged off to prison. He had husbands and fathers separated from their wife and families. He had them executed because of their belief in Jesus Christ. So Paul had some hang-ups about his past. In actual fact, can I talk to you about your past for a moment? Because I want to say this about your past. When you compare your past with the past of many people that went on to do great and magnificent and significant things in the Bible, your past makes you look like an angel. Like an angel. When you look at the people that God used and the things that God was able to do through them, and the reason for that was they had an encounter with God that helped them understand there's a past I've got to forget. You can't live back there. You've got to live looking forward to what the future holds. And so Paul says, forget about it. Turn to your neighbor and say those words. They're powerful. Forget about it. Forget about it. So he says, I've got some things I need to forget. I need to move on. I need to press on to reach the goal and the reward. In this series that we're going to do over 4 weekends, and I want to encourage you to do your best to be here over the series so you don't miss out. We're going to talk about some of the most important decisions of life. And each one of these weekends, it's about an important goal that we all need to have within our goals, within our roadmap, within our map of the world, within our future frame of reference in terms of how we want to live life and who we want to be. And so to embrace that, you need to be able to forget the past. Whatever happened yesterday, it happened. You can't go back in time and change what happened. But what you can do is take today as a new opportunity from heaven. You can't live in the shadow of what should have happened but didn't happen, or the mistakes that you may have made, goals you didn't achieve. I want you to know and understand this about God as you stand in this new year, this very important fact that God's a God of the comeback. He's a God of the comeback. And he just wants you to come back. Come back. When you get off track, come back. Everyone say, come back. Come back. Just come back. God always beckons us to come back, to return, so that he can help us go forward in life and move on into the new things that he has for us. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 says this, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a brand new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So in 2018, God's got some new things that he wants to do for us. He wants to help us embrace those new things. And to embrace it, we need to see it. We need to perceive it. We need to be prepared for it. It's springing up all around us. And so decisions. Decisions. We're all shaped by them. We are who we are because of the decisions that we have made. We're the master of our decisions. You're the one making your own decisions. And those decisions determine who you will be, your enjoyment of life, the fellowship you have with friends. Everything is determined by the decisions that we make. And so I want to draw your attention to the most important decision of your life, the one decision that's above every other decision, that one thing for you. What's that one thing for you this year? You know, in your New Year resolutions and maybe your thoughts of what this year might hold for you, your hopes and dreams and whatever. What's the one thing? What's the one thing that if you could change, it would change everything? Is there a one thing? Like Paul said, this one thing I do. Is there a one thing you should do? Is it in your habits? Is there a habit maybe you've got planned to change this year? Is it in your health? Something that's affecting your health that you really want to focus on this year. Maybe it's a relationship and a little bit of relational change. Maybe it's the way you do money and your whole financial world. Is there a habit there, a behavior there, something that if you changed, it would change everything? Is it in your career, your business, your work, your studies, your dreams, your vision? What's your one thing? What's your one thing? All of us have a one thing. Paul says, I forget. I need to forget. I need to stretch. I need to strain. I need to press on towards the goal. My encouragement for all of us is this, is if you really want to live a successful life, you can't afford to live a life without God. You can't afford to leave him out of the frame of your life and the frame of your world. You can't do that. You can't leave him out of the frame. You leave him out of the frame, you're bound to fail. You leave him out of the frame of any area of your life, you're bound to fail. God wants to be Lord of every area of our lives, not just most of our life, not just a part of our life, not just forgive us of our sins. He wants to establish his lordship in every area of our life, to have us following him with all of our heart. When we live that way, we enjoy his presence, we enjoy his power, we enjoy his provision, and we live in partnership with God, and we live what the Bible calls a supernatural life. A supernatural life. In Psalm 27, verse 4, David also talks about this one thing, like Paul. He says this. He says, the one thing that I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, In other words, the thing I need most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. In other words, David is saying, I just want to be around God's presence. I just want to be around God's presence. I want to have more of God. I want to be closer to Jesus. I don't know how close you are to God, but you're not close enough. You can always get closer. You can always get closer. And this year, let's really lean into God to get closer to God. Our one thing for this year needs to be get closer to Jesus. And here's our theme for the year, all in. Everyone say all in? All in. It's an all-in year. Not some in, not half in, not just put your left foot in. It's all in. Be all in for everything that God has for us this year. And so there's a story in the New Testament I want to focus on this morning, which illustrates this point for us of one thing and really being all in. And it's a story from the book of Luke chapter 10 about two women. Luke chapter 10, verses 28 to 42. It says this. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listened to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and you're upset over all these details. There's only one thing. Everyone say one thing? There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. I like those words where Jesus said, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and I'm not going to take it away from her. Jesus, it says here that Mary came and sat at the feet of Jesus, came and sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to him and enjoyed his presence while Martha was busy in the kitchen with all the details of the preparation of this magnificent meal that she was going to cook. You know, there's a time to sit and there's a time to serve. And you don't ever want to get them mixed up. There's a time to sit and there's a time to serve, and we don't want to mix those two up. This story reminds us of the point that Martha was distracted, whereas Mary was devoted. Martha was distracted, whereas Mary was devoted. And Jesus said, Mary chose what was better. And I want to say it's better to be devoted than it is to be distracted. It's better to be devoted than it is to be distracted. There's three things from this story I want to highlight for us today to really stir us to get closer, to be really intentional about getting closer to Jesus this year of 2018. And I'm going to start each point with this phrase, I have decided, because you need to be intentional. It's a heart decision. It's a focus. It's a posture. It's a position that we need to adopt. And it takes resolve to forget, to press, to stress or strain forward and to reach for the prize that God has for us. It takes a decided heart. And I want to convince your heart today to make a good quality decision. Number one, the first thing I see from this story is I have decided to make the most of every opportunity. That's going to be my resolve this year. I have decided to make the most of every opportunity. I love the fact that a new year, it's like a new day. It's like a new beginning. I don't know why it is. It's just bizarre, but it feels like that. You say goodbye to the old year and hello to the new year. It's kind of like when you're in your art class and you've messed up the picture that you've been drawing and it looks terrible, and your teacher just comes and rolls over a new piece of paper for you, and you got a fresh, bright, white sheet of paper ready to mess it up and start again. And that's what a new year is. It's an opportunity. Everyone say opportunity? Make the most of it. Make the most of the opportunity that we have this year. You see, Martha, she had an opportunity. Jesus was in her house. Jesus was in her house. She didn't make the most of the opportunity because she spent the whole time in the kitchen preparing a meal, making preparations, when there was a moment where she should have just simply been in the presence of Jesus. Here's my thought. If the preparation that we do in the kitchen keeps us from being in the presence of Jesus, then we haven't chosen what is better. There's a time to do the preparation, and then there's a time to sit down. Can I say this for everybody that serves in this house? There's a time to serve and there's a time to sit. And if you're always serving, 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 and not sitting, 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 we haven't chosen the best thing. Serving is always appropriate. So is sitting. There is a time to sit and just enjoy simply the presence of the Lord. Ephesians 5 says this: be careful how you act or behave. These are difficult days. Don't be fools, be wise. And make, here's our thought, make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Make the most of every opportunity that God gives you for doing good. This year in 2018, make the most of every opportunity that God gives you. It's a new year, it's a new day, it's a new start, it's a new beginning for every one of us. Take advantage of it and make the most of it. So in regards to church this year, make the most of church world this year. Can I encourage you to do that? Just don't be an attender, be someone that really belongs. Be someone that really belongs. Get involved in a small group. Small groups are how we connect. They're how we do the journey with people. They're how we care for each other. So find yourself in a small group this year. Ask our office about that, about where you can get involved, how you can be involved in a small group. Get involved in our Next Steps pathway. There's a little leaflet on the front of your seat about that, our Next Steps program, which helps people to connect better and to grow in connection, to grow in faith, to grow in our contribution, and then to grow in our influence. And so we learn to serve, we learn to care, we learn to share, and we learn to contribute to make God's house strong and to make our faith and believing much, much stronger. Make it an all-in year. An all-in year in 2018, because Jesus is in the house, and don't miss the opportunity to sit at his feet because of distraction. So I have decided, here's my decision, I have decided to make 2018 the best spiritual year ever. The best spirit. Make a good decision to do that. I've decided to make 2018 the best year spiritually for me. Number two, I have decided to get rid of every distraction. I have decided to get rid or discard every distraction. You know, distractions, we all have them. We all have them. You know what a distraction is. A distraction is when you're driving your car and your mobile phone goes off and you got a text message, and if you pick it up and you answer it, you're distracted. You are distracted. And sometimes there are very, very serious consequences for being distracted. And we're not always distracted by bad things. We're distracted sometimes by good things. You see, Martha, she wasn't doing a bad thing. She's actually doing a good thing. She's preparing a feast. She's preparing a meal. It's just she didn't choose to do the best thing. In other words, she should have already been prepared so that she could just have the time now to enjoy the presence. Sometimes we rush around, and we're rushing around like chooks with our head cut off, trying to get everything done, simply because we haven't planned it, and simply because we haven't prepared, and we fail to enjoy the moment of presence that we should really enjoy. You know, a lot of us get involved in things that keep us from the best thing, and they're not bad things that we're involved in, they're just not the best thing. And we really need to know what the one thing is, like Paul talks about. What's the best thing that I need to pursue? You see, the devil doesn't destroy good people with bad things often. He destroys them with good things. It is simply distractions. So don't allow yourself in 2018 to get distracted from the one thing you need. It may be good, but is it best? It may be good, but is it the best? Hebrews 12 talks to us about it. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us or distracts us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here's the key. fixing our eyes on Jesus. In other words, getting closer to Jesus. He's the pioneer, he's the author, he's the builder and the perfecter of our faith. That's why I want to encourage us to start the year with a 21-day fast. Pick your fast, whatever fast suits you, whether it's a full fast, whether it's a selective fast, a partial fast, or a soul fast. Fasting is simply about putting some distractions aside. Putting some distractions aside so that I can focus on getting closer to Jesus, and so I can choose Jesus above some other things that I've been choosing, so I can enjoy quality presence and quality God moments to start this year off. So find what works for you. Say no to something so you can say yes to Jesus. Say no to something so you can say yes to Jesus. I guarantee you it'll change your life. It'll change your life if you participate in a season of fasting and devoted prayer to get closer to Jesus. Just make a choice to stop cooking in the kitchen and make the most of the opportunity. And all the girls said, make the choice to stop cooking in the kitchen and just get on your knees and enjoy the presence of God. So I have decided, here's the decision, I have decided I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately mean nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything to me. I'm not going to let anything do that, because everything else ultimately means nothing and Jesus means everything to me. So I've decided to live that. Number three, I have decided, everyone say, I have decided. I have decided to prioritize the presence of Christ in my life. Prioritize the presence of God. To live a God first kind of life. To live that way. To live all in for Jesus. Jesus didn't invite us to live a half in life. He knows nothing of a half in invitation. When he invited us to come and follow him, he said, lay down your life. Lay down your life. We don't like to preach that today because people don't like to hear that today. But that's actually what Jesus invited us to. An all-in, lay-down lifestyle so that we could have the abundant life that Jesus invited us to. You know, the trouble and the struggle we most often have is because we don't lay it down. When we lay it down, God gives us so much life. So much life. It's not because he's a joy killer and a joy stealer and doesn't want you to enjoy aspects of life. There's so much life God wants to give to us and get to us that he gives it to us and gets it to us by us laying down our life for him. So live a God kind of life. Jesus is not part of your life. He is all of your life. He is the center of your life, the cornerstone of your life. He is the Lord of your life. The Lord of your life. So don't let Jesus become your last resort. Make him your first pursuit. Not your last resort. Make him your first pursuit. I simply want to know Jesus better. I want to know Jesus better. Do you remember Paul? He wrote, and we started this thought this morning, with where Paul says, this one thing. What was that one thing for Paul? What was that one thing? Because then he goes on and talks about many things. He talks about forgetting. He talks about stretching and straining and pressing forward, and he talks about numbers of things. What was the one thing that Paul talked about? It's actually revealed in the preceding verses what the one thing was. Paul spoke about it before he mentions this phrase, one thing. And it's in verse 7 and 8 where he says this, I once thought these things were valuable. Where he's talking about his heritage and the things that he'd done in the flesh. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value, here we go, here's his one thing, of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. That's what his one thing is. His one thing is to know Jesus. To know Jesus better. That was his one thing. So I count everything else as garbage. I discard everything else so that I can know him better. We really need to know and focus on what really matters. What is really valuable. Like Mary. Jesus was in the house. This was a moment to sit and listen. This was a moment to sit in the presence of Jesus. I mean, he's in your home, for crying out loud. He's not preaching on the mountain. He's in your house. Slow down, Martha. Come out of the kitchen and enjoy some presence that Jesus brings into the home. We need to know what really brings infinite value into our life. Infinite, real value, infinite value. We need to know what we need to discard to gain more of the presence of God. That's why we're going on a fast journey. That's why we're doing it. That's why I'm convinced we need to do it. So we can give God that opportunity to beckon us forward and to draw us closer, to prepare ourselves to be all in. So that all in is not just a fancy slogan, logo, motto, not just some words we're going to put on the light boxes, but it's actually something we want to live in this new year of 2018. So here's my third decision. I've decided that I'm going to prioritize the presence of Jesus. I'm going to prioritize that, the presence of Christ in my life. Can I have our team come to stage, please? Three big decisions. Three big decisions for us to be intentional about and to fully embrace. To make Jesus the Lord of our lives, to give him his rightful place, the centerpiece, the cornerstone, the foundation. The Bible says that it's Jesus that holds all things together. You let go of him, you lose sight of him, all things unravel. All things unravel when we let go of that and we lose sight of who Jesus is. Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, run the race. You can't run the race that's marked out for you unless your eyes are fixed on that goal, that prize, that person, on Jesus Christ and everything he is and everything he's done. And so 2018, serve God wholeheartedly, but don't allow your service to keep you in the kitchen when you should be sitting at his feet. Make God first in your life. Give God the highest place in your life. Give him the space to fill every area of your heart and world and mind and life. Bring him in. Welcome him in. Don't think this is spiritual, this is secular. Don't just bring him in on Sunday. Bring him in every day. Every day and in every way. So here's our decision. I have decided to make the most of this opportunity and to make this the best year of my life spiritually. I have decided to discard every distraction in 2018. I have decided that I will prioritize the presence of Jesus in my life. I have decided I'm all in. I'm all in. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? One thing. Close your eyes if you would, please. One thing, Paul said, one thing. One thing. David said, one thing. Have I decided and want, I just want to pursue the presence of God to be in his house forever. One thing. What's your one thing? What's your one thing that changes everything? Make the most of this year. Don't just let the year slide. Don't have a lazy one. Be intentional. Be intentional. I'm going to pray that as we take these moments to fast over the next 21 days, that God will speak to us. That God will make some things clear to us. God will bring a renewed passion and focus to us. God will break away some barnacles that are kind of around the hearts of some people and really set them free. God will renew and restore and balance. He'll do everything that he needs to do and wants to do as we take a concerted effort to get out of the kitchen and to get at the feet and in the presence of God.
of Jesus for a sustained period of time. I promise you, if you do that, things will change. Things will change in your own heart. Things will change in your own world and life as you pursue Jesus in a more intentional way. Have a decided heart. Have a decided heart. Father, I pray today for all of my family and friends here today. We're praying, God, that in 2018, that we could hit the reset button on life, on relationship, on faith, on church, that we could forget the past and embrace the new, and that we would make a very intentional decision to get closer to Jesus than we've ever been before. We cannot do this journey without heaven's help. You are the answer, Jesus. You are the answer for every area of our lives. You are Lord of our lives, and we need you. That's why we seek you, because we need you. You're a God that wants to be sought, and your word says that when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me, you will find me. You're not hiding from us. You're just waiting to be invited by us. Invited by us. And we are going to take some moments, Father, to literally kneel at your presence. And I'm asking you to speak to us. I'm asking you to make some things clear to us. I'm asking you to restore. I'm asking you to redeem. I'm asking you to resolve. I'm asking you to build something great in this season for us as we prepare to go all in 2018. That's my prayer. And I thank you that you're going to help us, every single one of us, because I've decided to follow Jesus. The cross is before me and the world is behind me. And there's no turning back. No turning back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to conclude today with Holy Communion. I'm going to ask our team to distribute the emblems to you right now. I want to remind you of the fact that Jesus held nothing back for you. Held nothing back. He held nothing back from us. Gave everything. He gave it all for us. He left glory, is what we're told. He came to earth, lived among us, and died for us. Gave up his life for us. So Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done. He's the ultimate leader. He doesn't ask us to walk a path he has not walked. He knows what it's like to lay some stuff down. He knows what it's like to say no to his flesh. He knows what it's like to go through the torment of that. He knows what it's like to pursue one thing. Not my will, but thy will be done, Father, was what he prayed as he agonized over the decision of his future. He's an all-in God. He's all in for you. He's all in for you. Wherever you are on this journey of faith, he's all in for you. And these emblems remind us of that today. He was broken so that we could be whole. And we have emblems of that today. We have a biscuit that's broken. We have juice that represents his blood, and this wafer that represents his body, to forever remind us that he was broken so that we could be made whole. And I want to remind you today, your wholeness is found in him. Your wholeness is found in him. Father, we thank you today for that truth and for that fact that our wholeness is found only in Jesus. He was broken so that we could be whole. He went all in. You went all in, Father. Heaven invested everything in our redemption and in our restoration. You hold nothing back from us. Your word says no good thing will you withhold from us. No good thing will you withhold from us. No good thing. No good thing will you withhold. You are not a withholder. You're a releaser. And we thank you and we celebrate today that you released your son. You did not withhold your best gift into our world and to our lives. We thank you that Jesus didn't hold back, but he laid down his life and he was nailed to a cross and he died and he rose again. And that is the foundation of the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ that we preach and that we represent today. And so when Jesus says to us to lay down our life to come and follow him, he knows what that means. He knows what that looks like. He knows what that feels like. And your word says that because he did that, he was raised to the place of greatest honor. The place of greatest honor for each one of us, Father, is found in laying down our life. When we lay it down, you give us the privilege to take it up again in a supernatural way, in a righteous way, in a heavenly way. And so thank you. For Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our example. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today as we partake together of the broken body of Jesus, symbolic of in this wafer today. Bless you as you eat today. Also the juice today, which reminds us that our sins aren't forgiven by our own effort and sacrifice or investment, but they are forgiven by only the blood of Jesus that has wiped away our sins forever. Let's rejoice in that truth today as we partake of this juice representing the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you please pass your glasses to the end of the aisle? We'll have them collected. We're going to finish our worship this morning by singing this beautiful anthem once again. Let's just take a God moment as a church right now. Just to go all in right now. All in. Lift up your hands. Worship God. Draw close to him. Just a moment. Just a moment to launch it right now. Come on, great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
You're still in his hands.
This is my confidence. You never.